Penguin Random House Audio presents Permission to Speak, How to Change What Power Sounds Like, starting with you. This is the author, Samara Bay. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a bonus PDF that offers exercises from the book for you to reference later. To the moms. Introduction: The New Sound of Power. A quote from Mary Beard in Women and Power, a Manifesto. What we need is some old-fashioned consciousness raising about what we mean by the voice of authority and how we've come to construct it. At my local indie bookstore on the east side of Los Angeles, I got to chatting with the cashier. She asked what I was going to call the book I was writing, and when I told her, the man behind me in the queue, tall, red-headed, and rosy-cheeked, piped up with a guffaw, "Permission to speak! That's not something I've ever waited for!" The cashier and I shared a delicious look. "Precisely, sir, precisely. This book is not for him. When I was 24, I lost my voice. I needed this book pretty desperately. I remember most mornings I'd be able to speak, my voice tentative but at least audible, but by evening it'd be gone again. I would push through to talk during the day, feeling a constant scraping in my throat, the effort of it stealing my energy and thrashing my spirit. Something was very wrong, but I didn't know what. Was I sick? Was I broken? I was living in Providence, Rhode Island, halfway through a graduate program in acting, a dream I had fought for, but in truth, it was a terrible fit. I was desperately lonely and now feeling ever more isolated because I couldn't even talk. I dropped out of the play I was in. I attended classes like a ghost, aware of my every impulse to communicate and how I'd squelch each one. I stopped calling friends and my parents on the phone because it hurt too much. I definitely stopped laughing. Nights, in the dead of winter, I would huddle in the one-room guest house I was renting, drinking tea with honey, wondering what my voice was trying to tell me and why I couldn't just be normal. It turned out I had the beginnings of vocal nodules, pissed off little blisters developing on my vocal cords. I still have the alien-looking photo of my V-shaped cords the doctor captured by running a tiny camera up my nose and down my throat, and remember him pointing out where they were rubbing against each other, aka at the wrong spot. It turned out I had picked up a habit of speaking that was a bit lower than my body's preferred pitch. It turned out the fix was relatively minor, and with the help of a speech pathologist during winter break, I worked on a slightly new way of speaking that felt strange until it didn't, and ushered myself back into the land of the living. But I was left with major questions. Why had I picked up this habit that had unleashed such chaos in my life? Had there been some sort of payoff for me to speak this way? Or was it simply bad usage, as the head of my acting program pronounced it in front of the whole class with a tsk in his voice when I'd first returned from the doctor with the diagnosis? Like he was accusing me of messing up my voice on purpose. Like I could have chosen good, healthy speaking, but I chose bad instead out of, what, laziness? And there was the question that took shape more slowly as I began to share my brush with nodules post-graduation and began to hear others' stories. Was I actually abnormal? I wondered How many others experienced a hard-to-place, out-of-sync feeling between their bodies and voices? How many women, especially, it seemed, spoke in ways that weren't natural and free because they had heard whispers in their own heads that said, "You're not talking right," or "You're not speaking up like you should," or "You don't sound like what powerful people sound like. What is wrong with you?" Maybe you've heard these whispers yourself. Maybe you've even heard them voiced aloud by well-intentioned mentors or bosses who took you aside for just a word of advice. Maybe you've been the recipient of a gentle warning that no one will take you seriously if you keep saying "like" so much, or if you remain so soft-spoken. Or maybe you've been told you sound too angry or strident or pushy or shrill, or you speak with an accent or a particular style of speech that codes for unprofessional or undereducated, according to those well-meaning educated professionals. Bad usage, bad usage, bad usage. Empowerment gurus and memes everywhere say find your voice, but we don't talk enough about why these voices of ours may have gone missing. We don't talk about why exactly it's hard to give ourselves permission to speak as readily as that jovial gentleman behind me at the bookstore. Spoiler alert, it's not our fault. There is a certain kind of voice we've all grown up hearing that sounds like command and conviction. It's John F. Kennedy in the clips we watched in school, and Winston Churchill's rousing wartime oratory. It's Steve Jobs delivering his famous Stanford commencement speech, and Tom Hanks sitting on the late-night couch charming everyone, and Stephen Colbert bantering with him across the desk. Look, it's not their fault either. They just said what they came to say. But these men, these straight, white, rich, remarkably large men, have defined easy authority for generations. They are what being taken seriously sounds like. They are who a whole lot of our parents and their parents and their parents reflexively offered the benefit of the doubt. They are who we tend to believe. They are our experts and anchors and leaders and heroes. They represent the standard voice of authority as much as a symmetrical, light-skinned, youthful appearance represents the standard of beauty. Even if we know ogling, dumb, photoshopped pictures of models in magazines and influencers on social media will only make us feel inadequate. Sometimes, when we're not being vigilant, we don't even realize we're doing it. We just don't like the way we look. The problem with the voice standard is the same. When you or I want to become experts or leaders, we're stuck trying to approximate the speech of powerful men, just as we might feel stuck spending too much time debating injections or trying to lose that extra weight. And maybe you don't even realize you're doing it. You just don't like the sound of your voice. That's how standards work. They're everywhere. So, like a fish, you don't notice the water. But take a course on executive presence or do a search for how to sound like a leader, and the advice will be suspiciously consistent. Keep your voice low and steady, they'll say. Avoid getting emotional or sounding sing-songy. Tighten up your words. Don't use uptalk at the end of your statements, for heaven's sake. And keep a measured pace at about 75% of your normal rate. That's the standard. That's what power traditionally sounds like. That's, as famed British classicist Dr. Mary Beard says, the voice of authority as we've come to construct it. Run all your own instincts through this rubric or run the risk of getting laughed at, undermined, or ignored. I mean, honestly, is it any wonder we end up feeling uncomfortable speaking in public? Of course we worry we're not talking right or using or too much instead of speaking fluidly. Of course we wind up with mind gunk complexes about sounding too soft or too harsh or too high-pitched or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?